Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it, just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." And then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Years ago at Berea College, the president got word that there was a little mischief going on in the dorms. And what it was that the girls would hear a call from over in the trees outside the dorm, "Hooty-hoo!" And then they would lower a bucket with a rope on it down, and the guys would come up and they would stick their foot in the bucket and hold on the rope, and the girls would pull them all up. Well, the president, having gotten word of that, he went over and thought, I got them. So he hides in the trees, and hooty-hoo! Down comes the bucket. He walks over, puts his foot in it, holds on tight, and they pull him up, and he's thinking, Oh, I got him. And then his head crested that window, and it scared the girls so bad they let go of the rope. Now, he had a grand arrival plan, but it didn't go like he thought it would. At our Wednesday night study, we marveled at two things. We marveled at the intentionality that Jesus had this laid out. He had this donkey prepared. He knew it was going to be there, and he knew what it meant to come into town riding on a donkey and not a horse. And so my feeling Wednesday night as we looked at this text and as we thought about something we celebrate every year was I was just sort of overcome with this sense of awe. And so the last couple of days I wrestled with, what is it about Jesus that strikes that sense of awe in me and I think does in us? Barbara Penwarden wrote this poem about Jesus and why he's so puzzling. "Should a stable manger cradle the world's hopes in so fragile a form? Should a maker of worlds become a carpenter's apprentice? Should a king become a servant to the least of society? The humility of God incarnate was no disguise of a majesty that was too great for us to bear, but rather the revelation of a majesty too unlike us to be recognized." So let's think about this. How is Jesus different from what we sort of expect? When we dream as little kids, and I asked the Sunday school class, I said, what mythical character in movie or television was your hero? This was a group of adults, but we look back to childhood. And I think I've told you, mine was James West from the Wild Wild West. For a couple of reasons. One is he had a secret little gun in his boot. The other is he had a cool theme song. Bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. First grade through third grade, I had my medal, James West, lunchbox. And I had my theme song. Those are our heroes. So I asked them, who was your hero and what kind of character? And the great thing about those characters is they really are superhuman. They don't die. And they always win by the end. without having to go through anything other than just this struggle. But then I asked them, I said, when you were little, who was it that made a difference in your life? Personally, who were your heroes? And the people they listed were very simple folks. They were not well known, but they made a huge difference in their life. And they were very vulnerable. And many of them by this point had died. So there's a difference between the kind of heroes we imagine, and there's a difference between those that make a difference in our lives. Barbara Brown Taylor, there's a quote on the front of your bulletin, there's also this quote. When the disciples were challenging Jesus when he told them of his mortality, he said, in her words, he said, "How foolish you are. If you had read your Bibles, none of this would come as a surprise to you. It's right there in black and white. The Christ is not one who wins the power struggle, he's the one who loses it. The Christ is not the undefeated champion, he is the suffering servant, the broken one who comes into his glory with his wounds still visible." See, those are our heroes. They're not invulnerable, they're quite vulnerable. They can be hurt, they can be wounded, and they die, but they still show up. So the next thing is that Jesus is a hero. What he's not is a celebrity. Now, this is an old quote, but think about it for today. Joseph Campbell, he said this, "The problem in today's society is that we don't want to be heroes. What we want is to be celebrities." A questionnaire was sent to a high school in Brooklyn, which asked, "What would you like to be?" And 2/3 of the students responded, "A celebrity." Their goal is to be known, just to have fame and fortune. The difference for Campbell is a celebrity is the one who lives only for self and for recognition, but a hero acts for others. Jesus denied the desire we might have to be a celebrity in order to do whatever it took, even in a heroic fashion. See, it's not that Jesus is superhuman. He's superbly human. One of the things, you know, as you read these stories, and I've been reading them for quite a while, you realize that there are things that just skip by you. And what I realized this time was that when they put the cloaks on the donkey, they have to set Jesus on it. So even if you can walk on water, and even if you can raise Lazarus from the dead and feed 5,000 people, nobody just gets on a donkey. Especially when it's got a bunch of cloaks on it. You know, there's not the, you know, just jump up there. They had to put Jesus on it. That's just a human thing. I was showing off for Carrie when we were dating, and there was a donkey in this pasture whose name actually was Hosanna. And I decided it would be cool if I jumped from the fence onto that donkey, but that donkey didn't like it. And I promise you, I'm not making it up, though at times I have a tendency to. That donkey threw me off and kicked me on the way down. It was quite impressive. Jesus had to be set on that donkey. There's something just marvelously human about in the middle of all this drama. It's just what he had to do to get there. He was superbly human. Yes, we get a sense of the heart of God in Jesus, but we also get a sense of just what it's like to be really human and really show up. In a tense situation, when you know the tide is turning against you, you could fight, you could fly, or you could just blend in. He could have slid off that donkey and just walked through the crowd. He knew they were coming. It's not just because of prophecy. It's you don't have to be a genius to know they're coming for you, especially when you overturn the tables in the temple. They're going to come for you. They always have. They always will. You got to keep the peace. And people like Jesus, you just can't have around. And he could have taken off. Gone out like John the Baptist in the desert. But they found him anyway. Superbly human. He shows up, which is the next thing. True heroes, they're vulnerable, but they're not weak. This is not weakness. This is vulnerability. And vulnerability takes courage. So let's unpack this a little bit. We, according to Martin Luther, the ultimate idol is security. We want safety. Who will keep us safe? Even at the expense of really being alive in the first place. Jesus picks vulnerability, and that takes great courage. Because you see, one of the key pieces of being able to love is being vulnerable. And I'm not talking about romance. Romance is very passionate. Romeo and Juliet, but soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who was already sick and pale with grief, that thou, her maid, art fair. Yeah, I mean, good story and all, but love goes the distance. And to really love, you gotta not just be hiding outside the window, you gotta go down the middle of town. And that's what Jesus does. He doesn't declare his love from a distance. He does it on a donkey through town. C.S. Lewis said this, "Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy is to at least risk tragedy. Because if you're not, then you're lost. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell." And you see, that's where it leads me to the last thing. We talk a lot about change. And if the voice that's inside your head is from the media or others or just the general culture, change a leader, change the country, change this, change that. Jesus is about transformation. And transformation is not going to come through a voting booth or just making your stance or wearing a button or even believing and coming in shouting Hosanna. It comes through all these pieces of being superbly human, being vulnerable and willing to risk the possibility of love. And the possibility of a kingdom greater than our own. God's kingdom. One that comes into town boldly on a donkey. And that puts me in awe. Good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we speak of a kingdom that we don't know much about, but we do know that it is far different than what we can imagine. So God, don't be limited by our imagination. Roll through like thunder. Shake us up so that we might have the courage. Courage, which means to go in wholeheartedly. Bravery is not enough, for bravery is just contrary to fear. But we would be all in, oh God, wholeheartedly. Give us the courage to be vulnerable, to be human, to love in a heroic fashion. That's why we've come, that's why we've gathered, and that's why we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."